have happened to us that don't have triumphant endings. Like, look how great my life is now that I know Jesus. And so we're in the middle of this series called My Story, God's Story. And this morning we're going to hear a tough story that's still in the messy middle. And so Allison Ramirez has come up to join us, and I've known Allison for the last 3 years. Allison is the mother of two young women back there, young girls, and she is a co-leader with me in the Journey Discipleship course. And I admire Allison's courage in speaking today and also the joy I see in her life. And so let's get to know Allison a bit. Do you want this? Okay. All right. Okay. So, Allison, you grew up in a different country. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what your early understanding of God was.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, I was born in South America in a country called Chile. I was born to a Catholic family, what do you call nominal Catholics. We didn't really go to church every Sunday, but did all the baptisms and communion and all that kind of stuff. I was born to a family of mom and dad, and then I had an older brother, and then another sister was born. So there was three of us back in Chile, and then when I came to Canada, two more were born. I always wanted to know about God. I was always curious about God. I remember loving catechism, and whenever vacation Bible schools would come to our neighborhood, I would beg my mom to let me go, and I was always there, and I had two aunts who were evangelical Christians that every once in a while will take me to Sunday school, but my early exposure to Christianity was quite limited.
Okay. So something happened in your childhood that dramatically changed your life and your family. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes. Nobody's cried here before, so I think I'm going to be the first. Yes, when I was 7 years old, I had to confess to my mom that my dad had been sexually abusing me. And so obviously this caused my parents' marriage to break up. When the marriage broke up, my mom had to take on the full responsibilities of caring for our family and had to be away from home a lot for work. My siblings and I, well, my older brother and I, my younger sister, she was one or two at the time. So my older brother and I were home alone quite a bit. We would have the sitters here and there, but it was impossible all the time. So we had a lot of responsibilities on our shoulders to care for our younger sister and ourselves. Eventually, my mother immigrated to Canada as a nanny. Looking back, I know this was all God's plan. So she came on her own with the plan to bring us here in a period of 2 years once she got her permanent residency. It took a lot longer than that. It took 4 years. My grandmother had committed to 2 years, which was the period that was supposed to take. So after those 2 years, she went back to her life. And then my dad took over for a year or so after. And then a few months before we actually came to Canada, the three of us were kind of spread between aunts and uncles' houses. Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for sharing that with us. That's a hard story to tell. What kind of impact did the abuse have on your life, personally?
Yes, as a kid, I honestly didn't have any idea what impact it had. I remember I had to go to psychologists and lawyers and things, and I remember I wouldn't say a word. But I kind of went on with my life. I don't remember having any problems or traumas in school or anything like that. I think growing up, I became very aware that I was sexually aware way earlier than most other people. But I was also, I don't know if it was pride or what, but I always wanted to do the right thing. And thankfully, that didn't lead me into a life of promiscuity or anything like that. So I tried my hardest to do my best for my youth. And I think that also, as soon as I told my mom, she took action right away. And she never blamed me or, I think she did a great job at doing the best she could in that moment. And I think both families, I had aunts or grandparents who were able to let me talk about it if I needed to, or they would kind of bring up the subject, and I didn't feel like I was being told not to talk about it or ashamed about it. My dad also faced the consequences of what he did. He was in prison for a bit. I talked to his mom, my grandmother, and the other side of my family, and came to realize that both sides of our family had been bound to chains of abuse. So that was hard to come to realize. So there was quite a bit of a change of sexual abuse in both families. After I had my own kids, I think the depth of what had happened, the violation of the parent-child relationship became a lot more clear to me. And that, I think that's when I realized what had happened, and I could not comprehend that a parent would do that to their own child. Seeing my own kids, I never thought, how could that happen? And as I look back, I'm grateful for how my mom handled it, because I think because she was so proactive, it might have mitigated some of the impact that it has had in my life. Even though as an adult, I think I'm still discovering some things that that might have affected me on. Yeah.
So when did you eventually come to Canada? What was that like for you?
I came to Canada when I was 16, so 4 years after my mom left. I was 12 when she left. When we first came to Canada, Canada had opened free trade with Chile, so we could just come with our passport, so we didn't have to wait for our paper, for my mom's papers to come anymore. We came as visitors. But we had to wait about 9 more months for our papers to come, so visas were extended, and we were home, weren't able to go to school. I think when we were in the process of getting student visas is when our papers came in. During this time, my brother was invited to Wellington Church for food. They were making traditional food for the Spanish ministry there, so he was invited, he went. It was there he met the girl who would become his wife later. And she started coming around to our place. And she told me she was going to the Spanish youth group there. And I decided I wanted her to take me. So I asked her, and she did. So as soon as I heard the teaching there that night, I recognized what Jesus had done for me. And it became much more real. Like, I knew about Jesus before, but I became very aware of my sin, and I heard that what Jesus had done for me. Eventually, someone presented the 4 spiritual laws to me, and I saw what a mess my life was. It was this really small little booklet that showed when you're seated on the throne of your life, and then what it's like when Jesus is seated on the throne of your life. So I really wanted that for my life. I wanted that order. My life had been quite chaotic. And so I accepted Jesus into my heart. And I really wanted my life to be different. I wanted to start from scratch, break the chains of the past. And yeah, I embarked on that. And it was good for a lot of years.
Okay, so tell us about that. What was it like when you came to faith?
Oh, it was great for a while. I loved my time from 16 to 25, and I tried to make Christ the center of my life. I went on mission trips with the youth group. I loved worship and reading my Bible, and things were good. Almost right away after becoming a Christian, I was able to write a letter to my dad to tell him that I forgave him, and to tell him about Jesus. The stress of my childhood felt like it was gone. Like, that was in the past. He stayed back in Chile as well, so I didn't have to see him all the time. So things were just different. In that youth group, I met the man who became my husband, and he was a Christian too. We started dating when I was about 20, and I thought our relationship would be amazing. That was because we were both Christians, everything would be perfect, that our marriage would be different, and that our relationship would be a testimony of God's goodness. I got married when I was 24 and had my first child, when I was 26. But sadly, we brought our own issues into our relationship, and our communication wasn't the best. The challenges in the relationship made me aware of my own brokenness and other issues even more.
So I've asked Allison to tell us a bit of the details of how our marriage broke down. She's not going to give us the specifics because some of the details are very sensitive, but we want you to understand how God met her in the midst of her pain and disappointment. So Allison, can you tell us a bit about what happened?
Like many couples, we had problems dealing with communication in our marriage. I would bring things up and get angry, and he would shut down. I kept trying to get help for our marriage, but my husband said we didn't need counselors. He didn't really believe in that. He said we just needed to keep God in our marriage, and that he wanted to keep things private. So we made do and try to cope with our unhealthy patterns. Even though we wanted to have a strong marriage, looking back, we didn't really fully depend on Jesus. I think the more we had conflict in our marriage, the more bitter we got and far away from each other and far away from Jesus. So we weren't developing a strong spiritual life together. We were both quite spiritually immature. I had become a Christian recently in my youth, and to me, Christianity was, after you become a Christian, everything is perfect and God protects you from everything, nothing bad happens to you. So I was still growing in my faith. I tried to get help from strong Christians around me and wondered how much maybe my expectations of marriage were idyllic, and I kept being told that some of our problems were very ordinary, so I just kept trying. 5 years into our marriage, by this time we had 2 kids, our youngest was 1, and I had a sense that something was really wrong. And I found out my husband was doing something that broke our marriage vows and destroyed his relationship with me and my family. I couldn't believe that he had done what he had done. It was the very thing that would hurt me the most. It caused me and my family a lot of pain. We separated right away for a year after he sought help. And then after during this whole year, he was seeking help from his church and tried to still be a good dad to our girls. And he wanted to repair marriage. He finally began to do all the things I had hoped for. And he was reaching out to me emotionally and spiritually to try to win me back. So I decided to give it a try and get back with him at the end of that year of separation. And I felt in my heart that God could do something great. I believed it in my heart. I thought this experience had changed him to be the man God wanted him to be. And I was willing to forgive him and work things out. I had hope and faith in God's restorative powers.
Yeah, so Allison, you told me, and you said this in here, that you hoped that the healing of your marriage would be a testimony to God's power and goodness, and things didn't work out that way. Can you share with us a little bit about the struggle?
Yes. The first year we got back together was good. We would pray together. We were trying to build our marriage again in Christ. But our communication wasn't great. We were doing this on our own still. I tried to seek help, and I said, when we got back, I did say it would take a lot of work to restore relationship and trust and all those things that have been broken. And he said he was up to it. But when it came to it, there was always an excuse not to go. We went to one and he didn't like it. And so in the end, I said, it's on your side. Now you find somebody you like, show me that you're going to do the work. And then 2 years went by. We were trying to do this on our own, and he didn't do that. He didn't find somebody. So then through the years, I kept trying to get him to see a counselor. He never had time. After the first year of being back together, he started to get into that comfortable zone again, and we weren't communicating, and he was falling back into the same patterns as before. And I really wanted us to learn from our mistakes and for our marriage to change. I truly knew we could do that. But he made the issues between us about me not forgiving him. He told me I needed to move on and just forgive him, and he avoided looking into any of the problems that were there. So it was scary for me. I realized that I was still with this person that had a significant problem, and he was not dealing with it. And I wonder what the reasons were why he didn't want to deal with it. Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so how did that affect you? What kind of feelings were rising up in you?
Well, I started to get quite bitter again. I, in my mind, felt I had forgiven him for what had happened. But now I was getting new feelings of anger and bitterness for him not doing the work that needed to be done to restore the relationship and to work through the betrayal of what had happened. So I told him that we... I told him again that we needed to work on these things. I kept trying to get him to see a counselor, but it didn't work. So during this time, I also feel like I was praying and I knew God could do something, but I wanted him to do what I thought was the ideal, what the great story would be after, and all of these things, these things I can see now, but at the moment, I was like, why aren't you doing this? And I started to follow far away from God, and it was hard for me to trust him. Later realized that I wasn't really trusting him and that it was hard for me to do it. I didn't know how to trust him with something so painful. I wasn't sure he would answer my prayers anymore. I was also disillusioned when I became a Christian. I asked for God to protect me and my family. I wanted my marriage to end up differently than my parents' marriage, and now here my past was coming back to haunt me. I wanted God to break the chains of my family's brokenness, but instead I was still bound by them.
Wow. So how did you decide to separate from your husband?
So we were together for 5 years. After we got back together. And I think it was that fifth year for Christmas, I started doing counseling on my own because the conversation always went that I needed help, so I went on my own. I asked him to come with me, but he refused. So in counseling, I worked on my own problem, my own issues, issues of forgiveness and communication, and how to better deal with my anger, which was coming out at the wrong people and hurting others. So I kept asking him to come, but he didn't want to. This was a very hard time for me because I felt torn by loyalty to my family who had been betrayed, and also, loyalty to my marriage and to work things out. So I felt stuck in the middle. And I had committed my life to someone who was refusing to deal with his issues and was unaware of his own problems. So it felt like he hadn't truly tried to make things right with my family. He didn't appear to be genuinely remorseful or understand the impact of his actions. By Christmas time, I felt like I couldn't be in the middle anymore. I had decided I was going to put him first through counseling. I was doing all the things that I could to work on my marriage. But then I just felt like I was on my own during this important time. We had made decisions to do things together. And then it just didn't happen. So it was more acute. I don't know if it was because of Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. But by January, I decided. I had been praying, obviously, these 5 years. And this last year that I had been in counseling, I was really trying to work not to separate again. Mm-hmm. But the more I prayed, God gave me peace about the decision. It wasn't healthy for me to stay there. Mm-hmm. And yes, I prayed a lot. God gave me peace about that decision. And I did it. It was very painful, but I did it.
Okay. So what happened after that? How did you process the end of your marriage or the separation?
It's been 5 years since then now. Seems like a long time. Yeah. the first couple years, I felt that I had done all that I could do. It was very painful, but even after my separation, the anger wasn't going away. And I knew I needed to keep working on myself. I felt very far away from God, and I had lost my trust in him. I felt he had abandoned me through my most difficult time. I doubted his power, and I didn't feel he could protect me. I didn't really understand why he hadn't protected my husband from doing the things he did to hurt me and my family in such a terrible way. But in my heart, I knew he was the only one that I could trust. It was kind of a confusing situation. It was hard for me to trust him, but I knew he was the answer to my problems. Before I came to North Shore Alliance, I went to Willingdon Church, and a prayer partner there had recommended Journey Discipleship to me. They didn't have it at that church, and then I kind of looked for it online and somehow didn't find it. And the first day I came here, it was in the bulletin. So it just something clicked for me. I was like, okay, I guess this is something good. I'll try it. The Journey Discipleship course is for people seeking wholeness in relationships and sexuality. So I signed up for it right away. One of the things that happens in Journey is a time of small group prayer where we ask God to show himself to us in the midst of challenges in our lives. When I first started Journey, I was led into this kind of prayer, but it was difficult for me. I saw God, but he was far away from me, like on the other side of a wall. And I was in a very dark place. Whenever I was led into this kind of prayer and I had my eyes closed, I would see myself in a very dark place. And I wouldn't let him reach me. I couldn't let him. It was too painful. Through the course, though, God began to show me how much he had been pained by what had happened to me when I was a kid and over what my husband had done. He started revealing to me his love for me, his love for my family, and even for my husband. God gave me a better understanding of myself, of why I responded in marriage the way that I did, and relationships with my family and things. He gave me more compassion for the people who had hurt me, and an understanding of why my husband couldn't engage in our marriage. I still want more than what he's willing to do, but I can now let go of that bitterness and allow God to work in me and in my husband and in the way that God wants to. And I was able to process my anger and doubts in a safe environment where you were free to talk about what you thought and felt. I was reminded of God's goodness and presence. Slowly, I began to see God closer to me each time we had group prayer. By the end of the course, I was led into prayer again and was asked to picture myself in a safe place or a place that I loved the most. And I hike a lot with my girls, and I was at the top of this mountain just sitting there, and Jesus was sitting beside me, and the sun was shining on our faces. So we're in the light, and we were together, and we're close, and this is sense of peace that I hadn't felt in years of him being close to me. And it was an amazing sense of peace, and I felt secure in his presence, which is something I hadn't felt in a long time. So this has started a process for me of restoring my trust in God and to feel his love again. I can trust God will do with me and through me what he wants to do and not what I want him to do.
Yeah. So all of a sudden you're still in this place where you're separated. Your husband still isn't doing what you'd hoped he'd do. What are some questions you still have?
I have a lot of questions. One of the main questions, obviously, is what God has for my future. It's hard to be in limbo when you're not making decisions yet. And what he's going to do with the marriage and what my role is in bringing closure or healing. So far, I have no answers to these questions, but I've learned to wait in a place of not knowing.
Okay. Mm. So it's been 5 years you've been waiting. Where do you find joy in this place?
It was hard when I was in the very midst of it, but I think even then, God used angels to bring joy into my life because I couldn't bring it myself. I have very faithful friends and family who loved on me and my girls more than I could have asked for. Praying for me when I couldn't pray for myself and showing God's love to me, showing me he was real even when I couldn't feel it. Community has been a very important part of this process, and I can only thank all of those people who have been there for me. I find joy now in learning more about him and serving him, in working as a leader on the Journey program now. This has been a really big blessing for me to see him working in people's lives during a hard process, and seeing him work is healing for me. It is good for me also to realize that God uses these things to bring us closer to him, and to know that when we're far away from him, I think this is what I take the most seriously, is when we're far away from God, we hurt ourselves and we hurt others. The people who hurt me were far away from God at the time. When I have hurt other people, I've been far away from God. And the times that I couldn't do the right thing for my marriage was because I was falling far away and doing things on my own.
So, Allison, you're a person who's been wounded significantly by two men in your life. What has God shown you in the midst of that pain?
It's funny, but he's shown me my own sin so I can forgive others. He has given me peace and strength, and I'm able to be present for my kids, and I've been there for my family as much as I can. I've learned not to hold resentment because I know God is holding it all, and it gives me freedom to live day by day. I do that. I do day by day. Some days are good, some days are still bad. God's strength has given me the willingness to do what is best for my girls and allowing them to have a good relationship with their father. I don't use them against him at all. Sometimes this has been contrary to what I even think and feel, and people around me as well. But God has given me a peace in the midst of it, and he's been faithful with that. He's shown how he's been faithful with our girls through that. It has been very positive for both of us and my girls, and we have a civil relationship, and we want the best for them. I felt for so long that God, that I couldn't talk about God's work in my life because of what had happened. Because things haven't worked out the way I thought they would or they should. And so I wasn't able to demonstrate God's goodness and healing in my life. I felt like I couldn't say to others that being a Christian would make your life better. That God breaks the chains of your past, or that he would fix things. He didn't fix my marriage. I thought this would be the ideal story, a great testimony to other people, that it would be a great thing for us to show our kids. I hope that even though my story doesn't have its end yet, my journey can still show how God can sustain you during hard times, even when you're not even seeking him.
So, Allison, what hopes do you have for your girls?
Okay. obviously a main concern when you separate. For me, it was that my girls would be growing up without their father. But when praying about this decision, I heard God saying to me that I could trust them to him, put them in his hands, and that he would father them. That I didn't need to fear for their future or worry about all the statistics about children of divorce. And he has been so faithful. Their dad is a constant presence in their life. And God has been good with that. And God continues to show me how much he protects them and cares for them every day, even in the little things. It's good for me to see them trust him. We pray sometimes, and he answers our prayer like the second after. We laugh about that, and we can see how he's faithful in our lives. And I'm glad that they know him and love him. So my hope for them is that they will continue to seek him and know him, and that they will continue to have joy in the midst of hard times, because this has been very hard for them. And that they let their light shine, because they're very bright girls, and they make my life so much better.
So how can we pray for you?
I think that I just need God to be a continuing presence in my life amidst all of the distractions of life. It's very tempting to want to feel like a victim when you have had these things happen. So I've made a decision not to do that and to trust him and seek his strength for every day. So for continued healing and wisdom in parenting my girls.
Okay, let's pray. Yeah, so God, I thank you that you have been with Allison her whole life, that your spirit has been present to her, bringing hope and life and healing. And I do pray for her at this time that you will enable her to continue to seek you, even in the midst of the busyness of working and raising two girls on her own. I prayed for continued healing in her life, and I pray that you will give her the love she needs to parent her girls well. Pray for her girls and the hopes Ellison has for them. I pray that they will grow into women who know you and love you and follow you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Allison. I'm just going to give a few short reflections on Allison's story. So how do we respond when people we love have betrayed our trust? And how do we respond when the vision for our life has been dashed? And Allison has given a glimpse of that in her story. What do we do when things aren't finished yet, when life is still messy? For most of us, it's hard to be in this place. It's hard to have things unresolved. It's hard not to be able to say, this is how God fixed things. But to sit and wait as God unveils his work in our lives. One of Allison's favorite psalms in this has been Psalm 27. It's a psalm of David. And it was written sometime in the life of King David, when David was fleeing from his enemies. And as you read the psalm, you can see that David's life is in a mess. He's fighting for his life. And in the psalm, David pleads to God for protection. He says, "Do not turn me over to my enemies, for false witnesses who want to destroy me testify against me." And then in the psalm, in the midst of danger, David expresses his trust in God. He says this in Psalm 27:13. He says, "I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord." These verses call us, I think, to three attitudes that are important for us when we're facing difficulty. The first is hope. So I am confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord. How do you remain hopeful or confident in something you cannot see, something that hasn't happened yet? And this is the very stuff of faith. Faith says and believes that God is good no matter what, that God is with us. And we put our hope in a God who knows what it is like to suffer. We put our hope in Jesus, who walked the path of suffering on our behalf. And Jesus is our friend and our brother. He never leaves us or forsakes us, and he guides us by his experience of suffering and loss. And he leads us through the suffering and loss to what is beyond it. He reminds us that all we see is not all that is happening, that he is actually at work on our behalf in our lives. And that's what this series is about, God's story, my story. What we're seeing right now, what we're experiencing right now is not the whole story. That God is weaving his life and his story into our story. And his story is bringing grace. He is the one who redeems our suffering and uses it to bring life and hope, not only to us, but to others. And we live in this world where the kingdom of God is not fully here, where there is suffering, where all things do not work out the way we hoped it is. And so in the midst of this, let's look and see where God is at work, how God is being present to us, and acknowledge this strange truth that in the Christian life, the way to life is death. The way to hope is through suffering. And so we hope in the goodness of God. We hope in the creativity of God and God's ability to redeem what we feel has been lost. In the middle of pain and sorrow and loss, we look to God. A God, we cannot see what he's doing, but we look to him and have hope and confidence in him that he holds our story, that he directs our story, that he will ultimately establish his life in the midst of our life. In the midst of hope, this psalm also calls us to courage. David uses the words, be strong and take heart. These are the same words that Joshua said to the children of Israel as they entered into the promised land to fight for the land that God had given them. And David uses these same words in the midst of a battle he needs to fight against his enemies. Be strong and take heart. Be strong and courageous. And these are action words. And you can imagine Joshua giving these to his troops. And I think what David is saying here is we don't run from suffering. We don't run from our enemies. That we call on God's strength and power to face them. Now, it's interesting here because the kind of action that David is calling us to and himself to in the midst of difficulty is an action of waiting, waiting on the Lord. And David is saying to us, wait, don't move ahead of me, trust. God is at work here. David reminds us of this twice. We cannot always see what God is doing. We need to accept that God's timing is different than our timing. Many times waiting is like sitting in the dark. C.S. Lewis talks about a time that he was in a dark shed, and a beam of light shone into the shed. And he couldn't see anything in the whole shed but what the beam of light was pointing to. And he said that that's what waiting for God is like. We can't see the whole picture. We can't see the rest of the shed or outside the shed. We can only see a little slice of what God is calling us to do next. And so waiting on God is following the beam of light that God gives us to move forward into. God calls us to have hope, courage, and patience, and to wait for him and trust him in the midst of these difficulties, to trust that he is at work in our story. Let's pray. God, you have given each of us different challenges, different disappointments, different pain in our life, and it is easy to ignore it. It's easy to feel discouraged in the middle of it, and I pray that you will give us hope, hope in you, hope that you are at work, that you will give us courage to face the battles you've given us and the patience to wait for you and to follow your lead. We ask that you'll be with us in the midst of all that you've put in our story. In Jesus' name, amen.
I invite you to stand with us as we respond in song.